What's up, everyone? My name is Zach Redrup, and this is the It's Not a Phase podcast. On this episode, I'm joined by Rain City Drive frontman Matt McAndrew to talk all about the band's new self-titled album. Along with that, we also discuss the reason for them changing their name from Slaves, how he joined the band and had to quickly learn their songs, their love for the city of Manchester in the UK, working with Eric Ron and Matt Squire, his expectations with this new record, and loads more. Before we get started, let's cover off the boring stuff. If you enjoy this episode and would like to support the podcast, please consider subscribing, rating, and leaving a review wherever you're listening to this. We also have a Patreon, where everyone gets access to each episode a week earlier than everyone else, and a merch store too. You can also follow and reach out to me on social media. All the links can be found at itsnotaphase.co.uk. That's itsnotaphase.co.uk. And with all of that out of the way, let's jump right into this week's episode of It's Not a Phase. What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining me on this episode of It's Not a Phase, where I'm joined by Matt McAndrew of Rain City Drive. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much for having me here today.
No, thanks for coming on. So obviously the big news is you guys have not long released your self-titled album. Where do you feel like this new record picks up from your previous record, To Better Days?
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like we wanted to keep people along for the ride, and we didn't want to, you know, super alienate anybody. I don't know that we would have anyways, you know. I think we made the record that we wanted to make, but the flip side of that is just, I think, just trying to stretch out a little bit, you know, spread our wings a little bit. And if there was anything that was, you know, maybe a little poppy or a little different on the last record, I feel like we kind of leaned into that a little bit. For example, you know, onto Better Days, the last song that we finished was Cursed. And collectively, we were kind of like, is this going to make the record? Is this too like pop for the band or whatever? And I guess that song would have been Psycho on this album. So you could see how much more, yeah, you know, like in that direction Psycho is. But everybody loved Cursed from the last record. And even on this tour with Memphis Mayfire, and it's like Octane tour, we have people, you know, yelling out Psycho. Like they want to hear Psycho live. So it's cool, man. I think just kind of laying all our influences out on the table and inspirations and just seeing what could fit. I just wanted to fit as much as possible in this one. You know what I mean? So
yeah. How's the new material kind of sitting with the crowd on this tour?
Oh, it's great, man. I mean, you know, it's honestly at this point, it's probably something that I take for granted a little bit, but I mean, we have, you know, everybody's always singing along and it's a really good feeling. And kind of, you do a lot of prep going into the tour and you're not really thinking about it. Like, oh, wait, this is the first time. Like, that was the first time we ever did that live, you know, yeah. And it went well and people knew it and we're stoked on it or whatever. So it's been a cool mix set of the last record and this one. And people seem pretty equally stoked, which is great.
So obviously, you know, you'll no doubt have some new fans that have jumped on board that, you know,
sure,
you know, the backstory of, you know, that you guys have actually had the change the name of the band. And to that end, they might also not know exactly how you joined the band. So, I mean, you can kind of like correct me if I'm wrong here. So as far as mm-hmm. I understand, the backstory is the previous band name was Slaves.
Yeah.
You guys were about to go on a tour across Europe and the UK, first mm-hmm. coming to the UK. Previous vocalist, Johnny Craig, mm-hmm. at the airport before they're going to fly to the UK, says he can't do it for XYZ reasons. He steps back. They still want to do the tour. They fly over to the UK. And then do they call you? Because they contacted, well, you can kind of tell me the story here from this part.
Sure.
So, yeah. So did you know any of those guys beforehand?
No. So Johnny didn't really say anything. He just flew home and they found right. out that he flew home. And they had about 15 minutes to decide whether they were getting on the flight or not, because it was down to the wire to get all their bags and everything. You know, when you tour internationally, especially, you have a lot of gear.
Yeah.
And I'm friends with Kevin Thrasher, and the headlining band of that tour was Escape the Fate, which is right. the band that he's been in. And so he was like, you could call my buddy Matt. So they had never heard of me. I'd never heard of them. I never heard Johnny, whatever. And they listened to like part of one of my videos I did on The Voice. I listened to like 30 seconds of Star Explode. I was like, doesn't have any screaming in it. Cool. I'll give it a shot.
That's all it takes.
Later, yeah. We were playing Manchester together. So I always joke that we're a UK based band, because that's technically where we all met, was in Manchester. And then that was where we cemented the final name, which is Rain City Drive, was on stage in Manchester again. It's kind of like full circle, which is funny. But that's how it all came about. And, you know, I thought it would just be fun to do an international tour. I'd never done that. And then I was really surprised with, number one, how much I liked the music. Beautiful Death was a great album. And then also how much I got along with the guys, just like pretty immediately. When I was growing up, I was in bands with a lot of really close friends. But, you know, for one reason or another, it just didn't really work out. And I had a lot more luck when I started doing solo stuff. So I pursued that for like a decade before linking up with these guys. And this was kind of a thing that the universe sort of set up for us. And we all came together. And it was kind of like after the second show, we knew we had something special. And we started talking about like, could this be the band? Let's get in and write together. And then started talks about like changing the name and kind of like starting a new thing. So we, you know, of course we all met and were branded under Slaves, but you know, if you go to the Spotify or whatever, it's two different projects. So yeah. We like to think it's a better days is our first Rain City Drive record. And, you know, we just wanted to start something new that is kind of people judging us on our character and our musicianship and history and whatever. And just kind of like a fresh start for the band, which can be scary, but honestly, it's been great, man. And so we're all super stoked to be kind of like the new kids in school, and it feels good, man.
So where were you and what were you doing when you got that call and, you know, for this opportunity you took on?
Yeah, I was supposed to do this big Vegas residency show for The Voice that I had auditioned for, and it was like me and like four other former contestants, and they were building this big amphitheater in Vegas, and you know, we went on TV to promote it and all this stuff, and it was like I cleared my whole schedule. My girlfriend at the time, like, we had both moved out of LA and we were just waiting to move to Vegas, and then somebody bought that casino and it all fell through, like, right. Just on some business shit. So I'd been living at my mom's house for like 6 months, just like chilling, making trips to LA to write and stuff still, but was just kind of chilling over there trying to figure out what my next move was, you know. Yeah. And I got the call, and then, you know, so looking back, I'm really glad that Vegas thing didn't go through. It would have been fun, but you know, this is what I want to be doing, so it's great.
Yeah. I mean, imagine what your life would be today if that didn't all go the way that it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be like singing in Vegas, singing covers, probably having fun, you know what I mean? But no, it's I mean, it's always been my, you know, I started out as a guitar player and then a songwriter, and then, well, I need somebody to sing these songs.
Yeah.
So for me, it's super important for me to be known for, I guess, the artistry of what I do, which, you know, coming off of The Voice, it was great because I feel like I was well represented and everybody got to know me as a guy, and that was awesome. And you have a certain level of fame, but then it's like no real like music career. You know what I mean? Like, I had put out some music and I got some fans from it. It was great before the show. But anyways, it feels really good to be, you know, the people that come out to the shows, like we were talking about earlier, it's like a lot of them know every word and they're singing along. And that's what I care most about, you know?
So what was kind of when you got that call and you had to kind of give them a yes or a no, what was kind of like the turnaround that they would have needed you to be in the UK by?
I think it was the next day. So we missed that show because my passport expired the day that they called me. So I had to get a rush passport the next day, and they gave me one in 3 hours, which was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then I was there like the following day. So we only missed one show, and then, you know, we were able to do that whole tour, and then another tour, put out an album. Then we all went into lockdown, whatever. And then, emerged as Rain City Drive, you know, but.
So for what you said before, they didn't know you and you didn't know them or any of their songs.
Nothing. No.
So I guess you obviously listened to the songs on the way, tried to like learn as much the lyrics as you could.
Exactly. I had a red eye flight and just on loop. I didn't have many clothes with me. I left a lot of my stuff in LA during that trip. So I was, I was like, you know, I was driving around shopping for clothes for tour, listening to the songs. Like, just, I wasn't a lot of fun to be around the first couple of days because I just didn't know the music yet.
Yeah.
So like by the third or fourth show, I was able to relax and kind of enjoy it because I had all the lyrics memorized or whatever. But yeah, I was definitely making up shit the first couple shows and whatever. And, you know, I was scared people were going to throw bottles at me or something. I'd never been to the UK. And I was like, I'm the wrong singer of this band that people came to see. But more importantly, I thought that the guys would be just like, what the fuck, dude? You said you could do this. And like, I was trying my best, but it was a lot to try to pull off. But we got there, you know, and the fans were super gracious about it. They were cool about it. They were just happy to have somebody helping them out. And you know what I mean?
I mean, especially in such a short time frame, like,
that was crazy.
Like, if it was me, I'd be an anxiety ridden mess. I don't know how you did it.
It was definitely the most daunting thing I've ever done. But I feel like in my life, I just keep being rewarded for taking those kinds of risks. You know what I mean? Yeah. When it comes to my career and stuff. And so it's always good to put yourself out there, to push yourself, whatever. And, you know, you'll see it's like a very sink or swim, you know, and it's the same goes for replacing Johnny, who's a deservedly so very well-loved vocalist, you know, and, yeah. Doing that really pushed me vocally. I was pretty comfy where I was at, and probably, I don't know, it made me expand my range and a lot of other things. So it turned out to be a really positive thing, but yeah, it's like very sink or swim in those moments, you know?
I think a situation like that kind of could be used as kind of a lesson that you should say yes to more opportunities, even if they seem kind of daunting at first.
Absolutely. No, of course. I mean, it was rough, bro. Like I'm all about that shit, but that it just about pushed me to my limit. I was like, Jesus, like there was a big part of me like waiting at the airport being like, I wish this wasn't happening right now. Cause this is like, I know I'm not going to have even one song all the way memorized and it's just going to be terrible, but it was all right. So
big risk, big reward. That's what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. That, we could have summed that whole thing up. Exactly. Yeah.
I think it would have been a bit more daunting if it was like a headline tour and you were stepping in to do a headline tour. So
true. Well, maybe that'll happen for me or for somebody listening, and I would still say go for it, you know.
Absolutely. So, you know, you kind of mentioned it took you like a few shows to kind of get into your stride. At what point was the discussions between you and the other guys to be like, do you want to come on full time? Because I guess not only they got to be comfortable with you, like you've got to be like, do I want to do this full time?
Yeah, it was after the second show in Nottingham. There was something really special about it, man. I mean, as you can imagine, like came together super serendipitously. And there was kind of an emotional moment for me and maybe for some of the other guys, like after that second show where I was just like, I don't know if I can say no to this, like whatever this just feels good, you know?
Yeah.
And it was so unexpected, for all of us, obviously. So, I think for them too, it's like they had been trying to hold together the group Slaves, like just as the wheels were falling off, and it was frustrating to get opportunities and put out good music and then have those, you know, lose opportunities and whatever. So, those four guys are great and they were holding it together. You know, there've been a lot of different members before I came along, but all those guys were super solid and they kind of had to be. And so then I think when I fit myself into the puzzle, it was just like, oh, we're ready to really do this thing. You know what I mean? So hence starting something new and seeing what we can do with it, you know?
Yeah. And you kind of mentioned this before, you know, the kind of like apprehension you had. I don't know how well, you know, Johnny, I don't know if you're friends or whatever that it is, but like you say, he's vocally, you know, that's kind of what he's renowned for. And he's obviously quite a controversial figure as well in
that
kind of music scene. So kind of how were you kind of feeling about stepping into that kind of spot that he'd left?
I mean, at least on that first tour, I tried to do it with a sense of humor because, like I said, I'd never heard of him. I'd never heard of the band. Mm. I just tried to focus on how great is this that I get to do this Europe tour. And, you know, hopefully the joke's on everybody else. I was just trying to have a good time. And I tried to learn the songs, but I purposely didn't try to like get too much into like, you know, watching live videos or see what, you know what I mean? Like just so I could just kind of do my own thing with it and just try to stay positive, you know, and say like, hey, this is crazy for me too. You know, I just fell into this thing and I fell into this whole world and even this whole genre. It's like, I don't really know much about it. Like I was a big fan of say like Bring Me the Horizon. But a lot of the bands that we've toured with, like I didn't know until we toured with them, even if they're bigger bands. So I was just like, well, I'm just going to do my best. And you know what I mean? So that helped me initially. And then I love writing. And by the time we got into the studio together, I found out I had a lot to say over the music that the guys were making. And I think the lyrics and melodies kind of came naturally. And I think that the more aggressive kind of rock style than I was used to, like gave me permission to express myself in a way that I hadn't been able to and was fitting with like where I was at emotionally in my life at the time. So it just really worked out, you know?
Yeah. I guess you kind of said it already, but not kind of looking at the live videos and going too much into what Slaves was means you would be less even subconsciously wanting to like emulate what Johnny was doing, so you could put your own kind of stamp on it. Like this isn't you trying to be Johnny 2.0. This is you. This is your style. This is
I mean, I think it would have been a lot harder for somebody who, you know, grew up like a, for me, like, you know, if somebody asked me to replace Tom York or something, I would just be like, oh God, you know, because I probably at one point in my life was trying to emulate him and try, you know what I mean? And all this shit. So it's just like, that would be rough. But like I said, I never even heard of the guy until I was filling in for him. So
yeah,
I was just,
he was just named to you at that point. My best.
Yeah. I didn't have time to think about it. You know what I mean? Really? Like, it just all happened. I mean, you know?
You're trying to learn the songs. Bad. You can't remember, you can't learn who people are. There's only so much room in that brain.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So, but yeah, once we all got it together, we just kind of felt like, you know, the five of us probably deserve a fresh start. I mean, it's like, you know, and we're super grateful that so many of the fans from Slaves have followed us to Rain City. But, you know, it's like, it's hard when you have this long history and people have, stories and whatever. And it's like, you know, we just wanted to shed any kind of negative weight and just be judged on our own merit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah.
So then after all that, you go and record To Better Days.
Yes, sir.
But even before you put out the album, you guys had already put out a statement saying, you know, this will be the last record with Slaves as the band name. How long were you kind of talking about, you know, changing the band name, and what were kind of like the main reasons why you wanted to do that, other than obviously what you mentioned in the statement?
Started brainstorming it on Australia tours right after the UK Europe tour. So super, super quick. You know, I think just coming in as an outsider, I always felt like, oh, what's this about? Or maybe this name's kind of like, you know, I don't personally like the idea of a name that has to have like a disclaimer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was never any ill intent, and the meaning of, you know, like being everybody's a slave to something, or being in particular being like a slave to your addictions, your demons, or whatever. That's all well and good and great, but I mean, even that, I don't think really resonated. Or I know it didn't really resonate with the five of us, you know what I mean, at that point. And to me, I just think, well, why would you want to be a slave to anything? You know, and it's also, I don't want somebody to just see the name and be like, oh, what's that about? And, you know, there's a lot of negative weight with a word like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, again, you know, no, I know whoever came up with the name didn't mean anything but bad by it. But I just, if you can't even, like, can we just have a name that is easy and just get, you know what I mean? Like, okay. Yeah. It's not worth it for me to try to, you know, stir up the pot with something where somebody's like, wait a minute. So yeah, man, I want everybody to feel comfortable and cool about listening to us, coming to the shows and wearing merch. And I want to have something that, you know, for me, Rain City Drive reminds me of like how we all met in Manchester and how we like had the drive and the tenacity to keep going when we kind of felt like the world was against us, you know? And so again, it's like, you know, it was always really, really important too, to not just change the name and bring all the old catalog over with it, because I didn't want to do some like revisionist history where it's like, oh, this was always, it's like, I wanted to leave the work that those people had done and keep it. And so people can still find it. It's like, you know, imagine if you loved like the first Slaves record or something, you couldn't find it because it's under a different name or whatever. Like, yeah. I didn't think that would be right either. So yeah, you know, took a chance on doing something new. And it still happens all the time that people who really loved even me and Slaves are still like, wait a minute, like this is Slaves, oh I fucking love you guys, or whatever, you know what I mean? But definitely worth it to us, and you know, I think we'll get most of the people on board. But it's also like, there's people that, you know, love Post Malone that still haven't listened to his new album, and they're like, damn, I didn't even know he came to, you know, Austin. And they're like, well, you missed it, you know? So we'll do the best we can to get the word out, but we're just going to focus on doing our new stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess, you know, you kind of covered it as well there. Like, with a name like Slaves, unless you're like a diehard, or, you know, you're really invested in the band, you're not going to actively Google what the band name means. And you're just going to be like, well, that's got negative connotations for all these reasons. Whereas, as you say, Rain City Drive, for you guys, it reminds you of that very strange but positive outcome from you all meeting up.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, even with the rain cloud on the first album, you know, it's like I was trying to have those kind of things built into the branding and whatever. But yeah, you know, I just want it to be a thing where people can, you know, just associate us with the name, you know, and you know, let's just focus on the music, you know?
Yeah. And start the new chapter of you guys in a band.
Exactly. Exactly.
Were there any other names that were kind of in consideration that were kind of nearly picked over Rain City? because it was racing.
We had a lot of names, man. I became definitely my least favorite pastime was making up band names for sure. You know, hundreds of them. And we actually had some help from, you know, whatever management buddies, whatever. And like, what do you guys think? And for whatever reason, Rain City wound up being on a short list of that whole list of probably 300 plus or whatever that I sent over. And I think they liked the meaning of it. Yeah.
It's a lot of names.
Yeah. So, and, you know, and then, I mean, ultimately it's so hard. I mean, for anybody listening to this that is doing music, it's so hard to come up with something new at this point that even it's like finding a, you know, an original Instagram handle or Gmail or whatever. It's just like, there's a lot of Spotify's that are pretty inactive, let's say, you know, but we didn't want to take anybody else's name. And we just, you know, we wanted something that was available and cool. And we could kind of do our own thing with. So that's where Rain City Drive comes from. It was, you know, and it's kind of like, what's in a name. I mean, I think through this whole process too, like even like Radiohead, it's hard because it's one of my favorite bands ever. But if I was like, guys, when you think about Stereohead, it's a pretty shit name. You know what I mean? Like, it's not good. Like, most names are pretty bad. If you really think about it, like the Beatles, you know, it's like, come on. Korn. That's not a good band name. Yeah. Korn. Yeah. And even the Beatles, when they first started, I remember I saw an interview where Paul was talking about, like, you'd say it to girls and they'd be like, ugh, they think like creepy crawly bugs. And it's like, gee, that didn't fucking last long, did it? You know? Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. People have been yelling it out of the shows. It's fine. You know,
you want something that kind of means something to you guys, but also is easy for people to find when they want to know who you are, what you want to listen to.
Yeah. Easy to understand too. Like, that was one thing, just like phonetically, or like diction wise, I wanted it to be something where you could be like, what's it called? Like, oh, Rain City Drive. And it's like pretty clear. Yeah. Although if you ever listen to that band called Foals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like baby horses. I remember my buddy told me, like, it sounded like he was just like, oh, he was, it just sounds like a noise. Like, it's one of those words where, like, out of context, you're like, what are you saying? You know? So I wanted something that was clear, that was not taken. Also, for a band like us, you know, we exist in this hard rock category, but we also, you know, have some R&B, pop, alt tendencies, whatever. And so it was important for us to not have a band that really boxed us into anything. Yeah. You know, if like the band sounded too like metal or too heavy or too poppy or too whatever. So yeah, we needed something that was kind of a blank canvas a little bit, you know?
Yeah. So what way do you want to put, because initially it was just Rain City, wasn't it? And then you added the drive shortly after.
Yes.
Was that kind of, because I guess obviously Manchester is kind of nicknamed Rain City, but there's no doubt other rain cities across the
world. There's other rain cities, and there was apparently another band called Rain City that hey, this is our name. And we're like, Jesus Christ. So after, you know, like I said, very shortly after meeting the guys, brainstorming band names, we knew we were going to change the name as soon as we could, and it was just like, that's why we put out the statement even before the album came out. But we wound up doing that UK tour without a band name initially, because we're like, fuck, it's not Rain City anymore, and we were like the band with no name. But back to Manchester, where it all began, and on stage in Manchester, I was like, video of me being like, by the way, the new name's Rain City Drive. We got okay from our legal team. Like, yeah, you can roll with that one. So
have you explored much of Manchester when you've been here?
Dude, I try to walk around. It's definitely my favorite city in the UK for sure. Not just for sentimental reasons. I like all the architecture and the red bricks, and shows are always great. People are cool. I feel like I kind of fuck with more like Northern England a little more.
Yeah.
Than Southern for whatever reason.
It's definitely cheaper up in the north.
I mean, it's all good if you're listening down in the south. But I don't know. I like something about Manchester. I think it's cool. And I mean, of course, there's been a lot of great bands that come out of there too. You know, including Rain City. Technically,
that's where you were born as a band. So
exactly right.
Yeah,
yep. It's where we were born initially, and then reborn officially. So yeah.
And you were here with no name at one point, so all three versions of the band have been here. So
exactly, the holy trinity of the band. Yep.
So you were saying, obviously, before we start the interview, you were going for like some vegan food earlier today. Have you been to many vegan food places here?
Oh man, I went to, I think, I don't know, I'm not sure any. And I mean, I must have done,
yeah,
because I was eating good vegan on that whole last tour. The only name I remember, I think we did hit up Church of Satan, and that's in London, right?
Yeah, that's in London, yeah.
So I did that. I don't remember what it was, but I mean, even the gas stations and stuff, I was getting like pretty decent little like Middle Eastern vegan cuisine or something. I was like, great. So I don't remember any names, but I remember thinking that you guys were killing it, you know, so.
Well, you probably won't remember this next time you're in Manchester, but if you do, two places you need to go to. There's a place called Bundabust.
Bundabust, okay.
Which is like street Indian food or vegan.
Great, great.
And then you've got one called V-Rev.
V-Rev, okay.
Which is kind of like burgers, kebabs, chips.
Great. Well, I hope the next time we're over there, you'll come to a show. And if you do, feel free to remind me.
I'll give you a tour. I'll give you a tour.
Oh, I love that. Perfect. Okay, great. Awesome.
Well, we'll go back to the music off the vegan food. Self-titled record, you went with Eric Ronigan, who produced To Better Days as well.
Oh, no. Right? So Eric did Beautiful Death for Slaves.
Right.
It was Jimmy Alexander from Awaken I Am who did To Better Days. But yeah, it was half with Eric Ron and then half with Matt Squire. That was kind of like the label was like, we want to do some that are more like down the middle, like Octane, active rock kind of vibes. And we want to do some that are maybe a little more left to center, like potential poppy, all kind of things. But it all blended together. And I think on some tracks, you maybe wouldn't know who produced which. But it was fun. I think in some ways it helped me kind of, it was almost like an intermission in the writing process. I mean, right. Probably only a day of like travel. We started out in LA and then we go to Virginia or wherever. But it was better to me mentally, I think, at the time than thinking like, shit, I got to write like 12 songs or whatever, like lyrically, especially. It was like 6, reset, 5. Okay, we're done. Yeah.
So what was like working with Eric and Matt then?
Different guys, different styles, different studios. Eric is, I most enjoyed like recording the vocals with him because he's like in a very good way, kind of like a vocal nerd, sort of like how I am.
Right.
And so I think we had a blast cutting the vocals together and building all little stacks. And like, he was really great for that. And he's a singer himself. So he would know what to like, oh, maybe try this, do this or whatever. And I really enjoy cutting vocals. So that was super fun. He's like got his own style. And I feel like I said, he kind of had a job to do with pitching for Active. I mean, he also does a lot of poppy R&B kind of stuff too. So it would have been interesting too, if the label had approached him and been like, hey, we need you to be like the poppy R&B guy. I'm sure we could have got a lot of different stuff out of him, but, that was super fun, pretty straightforward, very professional and, you know, orderly. Squire's more like a wild card and he's more just like a vibe guy and kind of just lets you do your thing. And I was looking forward to working with him because he had a lot of experience working with Max Martin. And so I just feel like from a pop melody standpoint, I was like, well, I could like definitely learn something from this. So that was fun. Like a lot of the songs that were written in studio with Squire were like just me scatting a bunch of melodies and him being like, oh, that's cool there, and kind of piecing them together, and then I'd scurry away and finish the lyrics or whatever. But it was cool. It was just cool to get his perspective on melody from that kind of Swedish super mathematical perspective, which I feel like I'll take with me moving forward, you know.
Yeah, so you feel like you've learned quite a few things from working with those two then?
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, it's always a good experience. I mean, you know, you always try to soak things up. I mean, I do a little bit of producing myself, not as much as I probably will coming up, but you know, I can imagine for somebody like Zach in our band, he's a drummer and he also does a lot of production. I feel like, you know, just soaking up anything you can, really, you know.
Do you feel like you had a bit more confidence coming into this album as well? Because I guess on To Better Days, you're kind of like the new guy and you're kind of like trying to prove yourself to the fans as well, I guess, as well as yes. To yourself. And
yeah, so, I mean, funny things, right? So for me personally, in a bubble, I didn't really have much time to think about it. We just went right into the studio and like I said, luckily I had a lot to vent about and talk about in that medium. So it was great. But yeah, I remember a fan saying that I had no range, which became kind of like a joke, like as if I was just up there just singing one note of all the time. But I was like, okay, well, let's go back and listen to old Beautiful Death. And I mapped out Johnny's range from the highest notes that he sang to the lowest note. I'm like, okay, make sure I exceed that or match that on To Better Day. Goofy little shit like that I did that I was like, hey, yeah, this is constructive criticism. Great. You know? And you know, I'm sure that kid, bless his heart, doesn't know what notes Johnny's saying on the record anyways, or maybe how to figure it out. But in case he does, I did the work for him and made sure that the product was satisfactory. So we're good. Yeah, little stupid things like that. You know, I felt like a certain need to kind of push myself, but also like ultimately remove myself from the pissing contest of like who can sing the highest in this genre, which I feel like is like definitely not something that I'm interested in. I want to be a good singer, but I feel like it's almost like, you know, who can like shred the fastest on guitar or something. That's just not really my bag.
More about serving the song.
Exactly. And like in general, like I said, I do love singing, but I kind of consider myself like a songwriter who's good enough at singing to sing my own work. You know, I would way rather have somebody think that, you know, somebody else sung Talk to a Friend than like wrote the lyrics or something. You know, that's where I kind of like to hang my hat and where I take the most pride in the process. So it's about the writing for me. And then going into this second record was interesting because, like you say, it's like we had a big chip on our shoulders in the first one. We felt we had a lot to prove, and it was so funny because we had all these comments being like, "This is gonna suck. It's trash. Could be nothing without Johnny." And the first song comes out, I'm like, "Okay, well, this is pretty good." And then the second comes out, it's like, "Damn, this song's pretty good too." And then so many people by then was like, "Damn, this whole album slaps." You know,
in their words.
Yeah, and so for this next record, it was everybody was just excited and happy for us, and can't wait to hear the new music. And we're like, are we going to be able to work under these conditions? But no, it was good. And I thought I would just kind of take it easy vocally, and I went up singing higher than I ever have. And that always happens, but it was really fun. And I'm, you know, again, with the new band here with Old Rain City, it's like, it's fun to see people every night. Like, are they going to pick up the new CD? Are they going to buy to better Days or the self-titled? Yeah. And it's like, if they buy the self-titled, it's like, you're like, why don't they buy the new one? And it's like, no, it's great. It's great they like the first one. There's going to be people that always like, but it's great to compete against yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm all for it. Yeah.
I mean, it's still your work. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. It'll forever be something that I'm proud of. So it's, you know, but again, it's a little different, you know, when like, let's say when I first joined up with the guys for Slaves, and people are like, through art, we're all equal. It's the best thing this band's ever. And it's like, well, nobody in the band thinks that. And the guy who wrote 90% of that music isn't in the band anymore. And it was just, it was different. And that's a new kind of thing for me is there's other bands out there. And I'm sure you've noticed that it's like, don't have any of the members really left anymore. Don't sound anything like they used to. They don't play any of those songs anymore. And I just think maybe they don't have the guts to actually just change the name, and they're missing out on the benefit of like, think about it. New artists come out all the time. And they blow up, and there's something good about being, again, like the new kid on the block, because you have all this potential and nobody knows. But if you've been doing it for a decade, it's like, how does that look like you, like really anything new is going to happen? Whereas, you know, really, I would like to be judged on like for how long we've been together, what we've accomplished, you know what I mean? And not like, anyways, yeah. So I think to all you bands out there that should change your name because you're not anything like you used to, just change the name. Maybe it'll be good for you, you know?
Well, I'll have to come up with another list of like 300 names like you did. Maybe they just don't want to do that.
Yeah, that, you know what? I would have a lot more sympathy if that's what it is. Yeah.
Just what you need to do is, if you still got that list, just send it out.
Yeah.
We're not going to use these. You can have them.
Put it out there, dude. I know. Yep, I should.
So, you know, you've got the new band name, you know, a new lineup. Well, it's the same lineup from To Better Days, right? You got a new label, Thriller Records.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we like think of it as a new band just because it's like there's two separate entities now. You know what I mean? So,
and choosing the record to be self-titled as well. It's kind of all this encompasses into like a rebirth for you guys. Like,
yeah, definitely. / just thinking like it's hard enough for people to like learn the new name or whatever if they followed us as Slaves. It's just like, let's just make it simple for people, you know. But true, new label, and then the label itself being a new label, shout out to Bob from Thriller. It's like, of, you know, Fearless Records fame, and this was his new thing that he was excited to do and probably was all fired up about himself, you know, and felt like, oh, let's see what I can achieve here with this new venture, you know what I mean? So I feel like his energy with the whole label really matched ours as a band, so that was nice.
Is that kind of a reason why you decided to go with them for this new release, like new band, new label?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it was a good step up in terms of like team and size from SBG, which was fantastic. But, you know, it's that sweet spot of we want to really be able to do our thing and be pretty self-contained and, you know, make what we want to make and whatever, but just have a little more resources at our disposal. And Bob is really cool on a personal level. And I know it believes in what we're doing. So it was a good fit.
Yeah. And like you say, this is a new label and, you know, you guys are kind of like starting afresh as well. It's kind of like you've got like commonality in what you're kind of trying to do.
Exactly. Right.
So I watched the videos for the singles you put out so far, and I've noticed in almost all of them, you've got different colored hair.
Dude, it's either different colored or different hairstyle or something. Yeah. I don't know. I think it started as just worked out that way. But then somebody, I think by the second video or something, somebody commented like, damn, this guy's got different hair every time. And I was like, I am going to have different hair every time. You can barely see it because like you said, my camera's broken, but it's different already again. I got three colors in it now. But
so yeah. In Cunning Close, it's blue. And then in Waiting on You and Dreams, you've got it blonde. And then you went purple in Blood Runs Cold. It's like...
Yeah. And then Psycho's, I think we might do a video for Psycho. Right. And if we do, I can guarantee that my hair will be slightly different again.
Green. Go green.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. So what kind of your goals and expectations for this record? I mean, it seems to be doing well so far. It's only been out for a few weeks, but...
Yeah, man. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, it's... I would love to... It's hard. I mean, I want people to hear it. You know, I wanted it to do well on Active Rock, and it's, you know, shout out to Octane, like it has been killing it and whatever. But I mean, it's hard to get too greedy with the goals. Really, I just want people to listen to it, you know. And as basic as that is, I feel like there's a lot of great music in the world, and there has been for years and years. It's like you go back into the old catalog of like all the great music that's been created, you know what I mean? And so it's pretty competitive space that somebody would choose to listen to what you're making over anybody else. And the fact that I know that people are is awesome. So that's kind of my baseline. But yeah, I mean, in general, you know, I would love to get, there's like so many stats now that you can track, and when you look at like Spotify for Artists and see like how many streams up to the second that it has and blah 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 and all this stuff. So I just feel good about like with the fresh start for Rain City, like where we're at on track kind of compared to the last record. And I think that's would be my first kind of goal, is feeling like we sort of were at where we were, you know what I mean? And then just onwards, you know?
Well, you mentioned the stats. What was it kind of looking like the last time you looked?
So interestingly enough, one thing I can say is, of course, all the singles we put out, and I think we did five singles, are like the top stream. They've been out for the longest and whatever. Yeah. But then the next most popular song is Psycho, and by like double the next song, with the next non-single, which is really interesting. Again, it was a song that, you know, there's some discussion within the band of like, is this too pop? Does this belong? Whatever. Will the fans like it? And the answer is yes. So hell yeah.
So I'd say Psycho is probably that, if you were going to pick one track from the whole album that kind of is the sore, like the one that sticks out like a sore thumb, I'd say it's Psycho. Not in a bad way. It's just, it sounds different.
Of course. Of course. So yeah, it's cool. It's cool that people fuck with it. So yeah.
And it kind of gives you that kind of assurance that, you know, you can kind of dabble in these other sounds in the next record or whatever you're doing next.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you know, we're like, I'm big on like not asking for permission when it comes to that stuff. I think we need to do things as a band that we feel compelled to do, and just, do we like this? Okay, cool. And then have the fan base hopefully come to you. Like, for me, like a current band like that is like the 1975. Like, I never know what they're going to put out, and it's always great. And I just, I give them my total trust and put all my faith that like they know what they're doing, and it's great. But so that, I think ultimately that's the most fun position to be in as a creative, which I think a lot of rock bands are really kind of, you know, their fans have them on kind of like a tight leash in terms of like, and they'll branch out a little bit, and then they'll be like, oh, we hate it. And they're like, sorry, here's another breakdown again, you know? So, I mean, shout out to Bring Me. There's, you know, even in history, I feel like usually bands have more success starting out poppier and more simple than getting darker and more complex, like i.e. the Beatles or the Stones or anything like that. But Bring Me is a band that really has been able to expand more into a pop alt kind of radio thing. And, you know, certainly not lose any of their numbers. They're a big inspiration to me in this lane for sure.
Yeah. And they can just kind of pretty much do anything. Like they came out of Ammo, which was obviously a lot more pop, and then they did Posthuman. That was,
it's great. Really, it's great. And like, kind of like we were talking about earlier, like you're, at least I feel like your latest work doesn't X out any of your, you know, past efforts. Right. So it's like, you know, if the best thing to you that we'll ever do is talk to a friend, it's like, we'll probably always play it live, you know? And it's like, it's still there. It's still, you know, so, but for us, we have to do something different and whatever. So it's fun to, and also we've been lucky to get these great tours now here. So like after this Memphis Mayfire run, we're going right out with Set It Off, which is more like alt pop kind of leaning.
Yeah.
And then now we finally have a home for, you know, songs like Psycho and maybe even something like I Do, that's a little more acoustic or soft. So it's great. So I think even just getting those tours justifies it for us going to the studio, that there'll be a home in terms of building a set list for something that's a little bit different genre wise. And then I think eventually we'll get more opportunities and you know, potential like alt radio or things like that. And that'd be cool too.
Well, that keeps things fresh for you, because you can kind of, you've got all this kind of like different material. So for each different tour, you could build kind of like a set list more catered to that tour lineup.
Exactly. I've already got my hair dyed, to Set It Off. I'm ready. I think for right now, it's fun to kind of cater, and then it'll get to a certain point probably where certainly, you know, if we go back to headlining again or whatever, but even for some directs where maybe no matter what the band is, we just kind of will assume, hey, our fans are going to be here. And even if it's a heavier tour, like this one, I swear to God, people are yelling out Psycho every night, even though it's a pretty hard active rock tour, but we probably could have done it, you know? So, but we'll definitely do it on Set It Off, and I expect it'll be received well. So it's kind of fun to, we like doing all different kinds of stuff. So
yeah, I'm sure it'll go down well on that tour.
Thank you, man.
Well, other than that, what else is planned for Rain City Drive for the rest of 2022?
Oh, we might have one more tour in the works, just finalizing that. But again, it's very, very much in the spirit of like trying to tour with as many different kind of bands as we can, getting out with all different kinds of fan bases and building these different set lists and like seeing where we can fit in. Because I do feel like we're a group that could mix with like a lot of different lineups, which would be awesome. And then writing again. I think for me, I'm never like truly comfortable starting on the next thing until the last thing is out and I can get some feedback and get a feeling for it. And now I feel a little more informed with like maybe where I might want to take the next one. So yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks again for your time. Before I let you go, have you got any final words, anything you want to plug, anything you want to say that we've not covered?
Yeah, I would just love for anybody who hasn't to check out the record and you know, I would say check out the whole record. I know for me personally, like almost none of my favorites are singles. Like there's so many great songs that are quote unquote deep cuts that aren't singles. So just give the whole album a spin and maybe something will stand out to you. And other than that, just, yeah, thank you for your time and for chatting with me. And I am genuinely excited to go back to the UK. I really, that last tour we did was great. I feel like I got a way better like lay of the land doing those 7 shows. And it's probably my favorite place to tour right now. So I'm excited to come back.
All right. Always. Right. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks again for your time. And
thank you, brother.
Best of luck.
Okay. Cheers, man. Thanks.
See you later. Bye. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please consider supporting the podcast in any way that you can. We have a Patreon where you can get access to each episode a week early, along with some other perks, a merch store, or you can leave a review wherever you're listening to this. You can also follow me on social media or subscribe to the newsletter, where I'll send out each episode to you via email, along with regular playlists. All of this can be found at itsnotaphase.co.uk. That's itsnotaphase.co.uk. Thanks again for listening, and remember, it's not a phase, it's a lifestyle.